are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. Welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am your host for this beautiful Blue Friday here in the Pacific Northwest, Nick Lee. It's almost game time once again. Just 48 hours or so from kickoff, trying to scrub off that crummy feeling we all felt as the Seahawks watched that lead melt away against Tennessee in the home opener. We're going to break down the keys to victory now for Seattle in a tough environment against the Minnesota Vikings. I will give my picks to click and, of course, the obligatory game score prediction. The Locked On NFL Draft Podcast relaunches September 20th with brand new hosts. Eric Crocker brings the player scouting. Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks, the evolution of DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf met with the media Thursday and had a lot to say. And first of all, he looked banged up towards the end of that game against the Titans and was really a non-factor late. And it seems like he's feeling good now, or his knee is, because he was challenging reporters to a race during this press conference. And DK Metcalf has been quiet by his standards thus far this season. He sits at just 113 yards and one touchdown. This is after last year through two games, he had 187 yards and two touchdowns. So by his standards, he is off to a bit of a slow pace, even though 113 yards for two games is, by most standards, a decently, you know, serviceable start. And Metcalf spoke to the media about a lot of things, one of them being about his lack of elite production, as well as watching Tyler Lockett, his teammate, have an historic start to his season. And Metcalf said, quote, "Last year I was a little bit frustrated at times when I didn't get the ball. But when I see Tyler going for 200 or Freddie catching his first touchdown this year, that's just exciting for me. So as long as the team's winning and we're winning, I don't care. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl." And that's an interesting quote. You know, I think he took a step back from last year and watched his demeanor. And I think he might have seen some things that he didn't like about his, just the way he carried himself last year. And look, people, we forget. DK Metcalf is just 23 years old. Still maturing, not only as a football player, as a professional, but as a man. I mean, we forget how young these stars are all throughout sports. I think we're in almost unprecedented territory about just how quickly, you know, sports stars become stars and how young they are. We put these guys on pedestals and forget that they're still maturing as human beings. DK Metcalf, and then in baseball, you got Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., both 22 years old. Trae Young in the NBA for the Hawks just turned 23. We need to remember that these guys are so young, and they're still learning how to be athletes, how to be superstars with all these millions of dollars, and mature as human beings, as men. And, you know, they're going to be imperfect. They're going to show a bit of immaturity, and it just comes with time. What, you know, cut them a little slack. What were you doing at 22 or 23 years old? What was I doing at 22 or 23? Probably nothing good. You know, trying to get my life together, but certainly made some poor decisions along the way. And I'm sure you can say the same, but these guys are maturing in the spotlight and, you know, before our eyes. And I think DK Metcalf really turned a new page this year. You know, yeah, we've seen some things the first few weeks, and I think he's really trying to fight it. And, you know, he probably saw that his demeanor, especially during that NFC wildcard game. I think that's when it came to a head where, you know, he did look a bit like a diva. You know, he wasn't happy with his role. He wasn't happy with the amount of targets. And I think the Seahawks made some ill-advised decisions on offense based on his outbursts. And it looks like he's trying to take a more mature approach this year, especially as teams are trying to rattle him. And he mentioned that really the only thing that can stop him now is when teams talk crap, you know, to edit it a little bit. It's a family show. You know, that's the only thing that's their only line of defense that defenses have on DK Metcalf, is to mess with him mentally and to get him up in his feelings and, you know, unfocused. And I think at times last year, teams succeeded. And that's still with DK Metcalf having an historic season last year, a Pro Bowl season. You know, set the single season receiving record for yards by Seahawks receiver. So if he can, you know, mature a bit more and still show that just amazing otherworldly athleticism, boy, oh boy, watch out. I think he's going to be one of the better receivers, if not the best receiver to ever play for the Seahawks, at least, you know, production-wise. And from everything I've heard about DK Metcalf, he'll be just fine. He works his butt off. He puts in the effort when the cameras are off. This is not just a show. This is not just him trying hard in front of the cameras. He has that true drive, that true drive to be great, that Mamba mentality, if you will. He is still learning how to harness that in a healthy way. I mean, tell you what, I would much rather have him on the Seahawks than anywhere else. You know, he's still one of the better receivers in the game, and he's still so young. And the Seahawks have plenty to build and mold with him, and I think that both sides realize this is a great relationship with him in Seattle. Obviously, the fans love him, and we love you, DK. We're just rooting for you. And I'm really looking forward to seeing a bit more mature, developed DK Metcalf. And when you pair that with just the Marvel superhero athletic ability that he has, watch out, NFL. I think we're just scratching the surface of the greatness of DK Metcalf. When we come back, we'll talk about the keys to victory for Seattle in a tough road environment in Minnesota on offense and defense. I'll give you some things to watch for on both sides of the ball. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Are you ready to step up your workout game? Look no further than the Built Bar. When you talk to a Built Bar fanatic like myself, we're definitely passionate about our favorite flavors, whether it's double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting out there, they're also healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So you get amazing, delicious flavors, and you get healthy protein bars. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the USA track and field team. Make sure you go check out everything Built Bar has to offer at Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host for today, Nick Lee. Happy Blue Friday to one and all as we get set here for the showdown in Minnesota against the Vikings. It's going to be a tough game. You know, the Seahawks are underdogs on the road. Let's try to get the Seahawks back on track and shake off whatever the heck that was against Tennessee in that home opener and get them back in the win column here. So let's talk keys to victory first on offense. And my first one here is to get the run game going. And this offense is usually at its best in Seattle when the run game is humming. No matter what the offensive coordinator is, Pete Carroll seems to thrive when there is a run game that is working. And they've run for just 217 yards through two games, which is very pedestrian by their standards. Chris Carson had that great first game, kind of came back to earth a bit in the second game. The Titans bottled him up a little bit. And I think that, you know, keeping the run game going, and, you know, you don't need to run for 250 yards, but, you know, keep it enough to where it can extend drives. You can maybe pick up 3rd and 3 on the ground, or, you know, make 1st and 10, 2nd and 5. That kind of stuff can open up your offense, and especially against a team like the Vikings. I'm looking, folks, at their defensive numbers. They are not great on defense. Let me just read you some of the rankings the Vikings are on defense. Total defense, they're 28th in the NFL. Passing defense, they're 26th. Rushing yards allowed, 21st. Passer rating allowed, 28th. And they're 21st in defensive DVOA. So really, across the board, they are kind of towards the bottom third, bottom quarter of the league defensively. So there should be lanes to run. There should be avenues to pass. And that leads to my second point, is sustain multiple drives. Be less, you know, feast or famine, because the Seahawks, you know, they've been as explosive as ever with this new offense with Shane Waldron, but also they are just maddeningly stagnant at times. After that final touchdown in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, to make it 30-16 over the Titans, the Seahawks had 4 more drives in that game, counting overtime, and none of them were more than 4 plays long, and none of them led to points. You know, it's unrealistic to expect a touchdown on every single drive, but holding onto the ball and letting your defense rest and strategize while also establishing a rhythm on offense is so key. You know, you're not asking for, you know, 70 points, but get a couple first downs, get into a rhythm, because that will open up so much of your offense. Because if you are just going three and out, you're not allowing your playbook to develop. You're not allowing anybody to get into a rhythm, be it Russell Wilson, Shane Waldron as a play caller, offensive line. Nobody's in rhythm if you're going three and out over and over and over again. And you just kind of find a way to maintain focus, because, you know, the Seahawks get one more scoring drive, be it a field goal or a touchdown in that game, that game's over. Seahawks are 2-0. They just couldn't get it together late. I mean, credit to the Titans. They did tighten up on defense, but the Seahawks really did nothing on offense. That was impressive down the stretch, and they absolutely need to fix that. And my third thing on offense is involve the tight ends. There will be windows in this game. The Vikings have not been good on pass defense, especially against tight ends. I'll get into that a bit later. So the Seahawks don't always need to be looking downfield for Tyler Lockett for 150 yards a game, although I think in this game he might be there for a few shots. But I think there's also room for the tight ends to develop underneath and pick apart this defense. I think this is a defense you can really move the ball on, because, again, if you start establishing the run, everyone starts creeping a little forward on defense. That's when you can take advantage, and there'll be some holes downfield. And maybe not, 60-yard touchdowns, but something, that might be a soft underbelly of the defense where the defense or the tight ends can take advantage and get a key first down, on third and nine or something like that. So I think the tight ends, this is a big game for the Will Disleys and Gerald Everetts of the world. They're both very solid tight ends that I think have been a little too quiet, especially in that second game. The first game, Gerald Everett caught that touchdown pass. I think we need to see more from both of them. And on defense, much like last week, where priority, as Corbin said, priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 25, and 30 was stop Derrick Henry. And unfortunately, that was accomplished for about three quarters, and then all hell broke loose and ended up losing him the game. So the same thing with Minnesota. They have a very, very solid back. I would argue still a top three running back in the NFL, Dalvin Cook. Keep him bottled up. Make Kirk Cousins the quarterback beat you. Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill have a lot in common. Cousins is a solid quarterback, but when you make him one-dimensional, he isn't that scary. Always keep tabs on Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry are a bit different in skill set, size, and just what they do in their offenses, but they are I think Cook is just as lethal when he's healthy. That's been the big win and if with him, and he is banged up this week, but all signs, I think, are pointing to him playing in this game probably. So let's just plan on Dalvin Cook playing, because anything else would be a nice pleasant surprise. So keep tabs on Dalvin Cook. He's going to get his. He's going to get his touches. Keep it to a minimum. Second one is you need turnovers. I am of the opinion that the Seahawks do not win this game without creating a turnover or two. If you want to win a road game where you are the underdog in a tough road environment, you must create your own luck. And that is creating a turnover, whether that be a strip sack, interception, what have you, anything. You got to create some turnovers, create some short fields for your offense. It's all the cliches, but it's a cliche for a reason. Turnovers change the game. And we've seen it time and time again when the Seahawks cannot force turnovers and their defense is constantly on their heels, constantly guessing, constantly on the field because they can't get off on third downs. That leads to disaster. So create some turnovers, shorten those drives, and shorten the field for your offense. And third, stay focused and disciplined in the fourth quarter. Dalvin Cook is going to wear you down, much like Henry. But don't let that get you out of your run fits and gaps and get you sloppy with pass rushing or coverage responsibilities, because that is when an offense like the Minnesota Vikings can beat you. They are very good. They are very smart. Kirk Cousins is no dummy. He's been around the block. He knows how to beat teams that make mistakes. So that I think is where what separates a Kirk Cousins from a bottom-tier quarterback. Kirk Cousins can still absolutely make you pay when you make a mistake. So you need to stay focused and disciplined. I hope the Seahawks are conditioned, because I think that might also have something to do with that fourth quarter breakdown. They were just out of breath, running on fumes. Part of that is Derrick Henry, I think, is building a Hall of Fame resume. I don't think Dalvin Cook's quite there yet as far as his running back resume, but skill set and, danger, Dalvin Cook is right up there. And so do not let that happen for a second straight week. So, if the Seahawks have a 10-something point lead in the fourth quarter, every Seahawks fan is going to be sweating knowing what happened against the Titans. And I think that the defense really needs to tighten up there and get the job done this time if they do end up having that lead to protect. When we come back, We'll talk about two players to pick, my picks to click, one on offense, one on defense, and of course, my game prediction for this game on Sunday. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After 2 weeks of the NFL regular season, there's still time to make the most of it with a better way to create your own custom pool at RunYourPool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. Week 2 was much stronger for the public, who went 10-6 in Pick'em, and only 10% of pools were knocked out in the Survivor round. Still, now that about one-third of Survivor pools are finished, the Revival pools are starting. Run Your Pool hosts formats for NFL and college football with one-week games, full-season playoffs, or the Super Bowl. And unlike other fantasy sport platforms, Run Your Pool has options and settings to make it your own. You can even brand your pool for your local businesses, bars, or restaurants. Reconnect with friends and join nearly 2 million football fans to make every game action-packed this season. It's not too late to start a Pick'em or Survival Pool for Survivor leagues that have already lost. We also offer Revival Pools where you can restart your pool at a discount. Check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon or use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, Run Your Pool helps friends and colleagues compete. You don't want to miss out. The NFL season is off to an exciting start, so go to runyourpool.com/lockedon and have your pool up and running in minutes. runyourpool.com/lockedon. BetOnline.ag is back and better than ever. All eyes have returned to the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your top spot for all pro and college football action this season. They've got a new updated site with an updated interface, more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the top source for everything football. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can get a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100, whether it's football, boxing, basketball, or your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host for this beautiful Blue Friday, Nick Lee. It is time for the last segment here, of course, the picks to click, one on offense, one on defense, before the Seahawks take on the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are hungry for a win. The Seahawks are hungry to put that devastating home loss behind them against the Tennessee Titans. Which one will prevail? Well, first, we'll talk two players that I'm going to look out for. In fact, but first, my first pick to click on offense is, I'm going to cheat a little bit here. And hey, when the Corbin is away, the Nick will play. I'm going to go tight ends as a whole. So not one player specifically, but my picks to click are the tight ends. Whether it be Will Disley, Gerald Everett, or both. It could be both. Why not both? And I know that's kind of cheating, but I think it's time for the tight ends to emerge. The clear advantage is they have a clear advantage with the Vikings getting torched through the air so far. And no better example was when, you know, Max Williams, the tight end for the Arizona Cardinals, had a huge day against the Vikings last week. 7 catches for 94 yards, and they were just completing passes right and left. But I really think if they can establish that run game and get guys creeping up and also hit some big passes downfield with the DK Metcalfs and the Tyler Lockett's of the world, that's going to create a soft underbelly in the middle of that defense, and that's where the tight ends can really thrive. So whether it be Will Disley or Gerald Everett, you know, I'm not calling for 10 catches, 129 yards or whatever, but a solid, like a Max Williams kind of day, like I mentioned, 6-7 catches, 90-something yards. Let's get a score in there as well. I think this Minnesota Vikings defense can get got. And on defense for the Seahawks, the Seahawks have 0 interceptions through the first 2 games. And, you know, looking back on Kirk Cousins' career against the Seahawks, he's actually done a pretty good job taking care of the ball against Seattle. He, in 6 career games, he has thrown just 2 picks. And I think it's high time that the Seahawks make him pay for a mistake. DJ Reed was such a ball hawk last year when he came over from the San Francisco 49ers and off of injury, off of waivers. He's due. I think he picks off Kirk Cousins in a key moment in that game on Sunday, and I think he has another big game as well with tackles, and he just shows up on the stat sheet. But I'm also throwing in an interception for DJ Reed. I think of all the cornerbacks, and really all the, besides Quandre Diggs, who Corbin picked last week, unfortunately that didn't come to fruition as far as interceptions goes, but besides Quandre Diggs, I think DJ Reed is the next best ball hawk on this team. And I think that he's going to take advantage of a mistake or two by Kirk Cousins here. And he is my pick to click. So the tight ends on offense and DJ Reed, the corner, on defense are my picks to click. Now it's time for predictions. And, boy, I'm going to make some people mad. First, you know, I do not like what I saw last week. The Seahawks got worn down by a terrific running back, and they play another one in Dalvin Cook, assuming he plays, which I think he should. Now, he shreds just about everyone. There's no shame in giving up a play here or there to Dalvin Cook. He's a very, very fantastic running back. Unfortunately, I don't see much changing. I think that there's a recipe there that the Vikings are going to follow that will allow Dalvin Cook to eat and open up the offense, especially later in the game. He's different from Henry, like I mentioned, but just as lethal. And I just don't like where Seattle's defense is at. I think that their confidence really got strained because they were coming off a year where they really started off in a bad spot defensively last year, and they kind of built up and got themselves. And I think Corbin mentioned that it was a historic defensive turnaround, unlike anything the NFL has ever seen, that much of a turnaround. The Seahawks might be gearing up for another one. I think this is a solid defense with solid talent around it. You know, when you have a defense that has Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks and, you know, Quandre Diggs and all those guys, I think that any defense that has those guys should be able to adjust and play very well. However, I just don't like what I saw last week, and I unfortunately expect it to carry over a little this week. I have faith in Seattle's coaches, but the Vikings are also, I think, a very solid team. I'm actually, again, calling for a shootout. I think this has shootout written all over it. Not Big 12 or Pac-12 after dark status, but I think both offenses are confident and both defenses have their warts. And like I mentioned, the Vikings have pass defense issues and the Seahawks have not created enough consistent pressure on the quarterback. They have struggled to stop the run. And when you struggle to stop the run coming into a game against Dalvin Cook, that does not bode well. So the Vikings are 0-2 and desperate for a win. And they get the home fans for the first time in a long time at full throat there in Minnesota. They will be juiced. And I just think there's, much like my reasoning for the Seahawks, I had them winning last week because I thought of the same reason. There was just so much pointing the Seahawks' favor. I think in this game, a lot is pointing in the Vikings' favor. You got Dalvin Cook. You got the fans. Your home field advantage. And I think in a weird way, being 0-2, they have the mental edge. I think they're, you know, that wounded animal in the cage. I think that they're very dangerous in that sense. And so I'm calling for a shootout. I'm going to go Vikings 34, Seahawks 30. And in a tough, tough road loss. Again, I'm not saying the Seahawks are a bad team. They're not. I think this team is a 10-11 win playoff team. But the Vikings also, I think, are a playoff-worthy team. And they're playing at home. They're going to be juiced. And I just think, with all the issues on defense right now, they're going to be able to take advantage. And I just see the Vikings eking out a victory. A very, very entertaining game for the neutral fan. Maybe not so much for the heart medication there for both fan bases. So I'm going to go Vikings 34, Seahawks 30, in a very close but unfortunate loss for the Seahawks. But I think this is going to be a battle to the very end. And I'm expecting it to be a shootout. So thank you so much for listening. And you can follow me at NickLee51 on Twitter. Betting on the Seahawks doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. On Monday, Corbin Smith and Rob Ring will return to hopefully break down a Seahawks road victory in Minnesota. Thank you once again for listening. I'm Nick Lee signing off. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game. And of course, as always, go Hawks.